This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and welcome to Spring Training 2025 with the Texas Rangers. We're live in Surprise at Surprise Stadium. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and holding it down for us back in the DFW, the more famouser Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Some of us, welcome to Surprise. How we doing?
Kevin, I'm loving it, man. Arizona is just an absolutely gorgeous place, for one. Every time we get here, being able to see this beautiful Arizona sky, the mountains off in the sunset, the Surprise Stadium, it feels like home. And then walking into that clubhouse downstairs, it's a very cool feeling because it's a buzz, right?
Yeah.
All those guys down there, they're all excited about what's going on. They're all pumped up getting their work done. And you can just tell baseball is starting to ramp up. And, Mike, that's something for me that just – It's that feeling of baseball season that just kind of gets rolling into your veins again. I love it.
Yeah, and I think we really need this. Not that
I watched the video
of the Mavericks, but I think a lot of people are down on the Mavericks and what they accomplished the last two or three weeks. I get they're winning some basketball games, but the loss of Luka for the rest of our lives in Dallas. And then the Cowboys had a rough year. The Combine is happening this week, so I think that'll get some Cowboy fans excited. But
the fellas head out. They're out there Thursday. So.
Yeah, I look at it and go, this town desperately needs, one, the Stars to play well down the stretch and make a long playoff run, and then the Rangers to get back to 2023 baseball. So being here, yeah, I think Metroplex sports fans really need the Rangers to have a good year.
Kevin, what is your, like, when you come out to Arizona, because we've been out here almost every year since we got the Rangers. When you come out here, what's the thing you look forward to the most whenever you get to Surprise?
I really like seeing who emerges that is maybe not expected. Now, I know just because you emerge in spring training does not necessarily mean it's going to carry over.
But you've arrived.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't mean like Rougned Odor is tearing the cover off the ball or anything like that. I mean, like, when we saw Mark Church and all of a sudden you're like, oh, could he be in the bullpen? And like, I like seeing those players. And I know a lot of times the bullpen lends itself to like, this is probably the category that's going to be taken up. But I just think it's really cool to be like, hey, Rangers fans, here's a player that most of us probably had no idea existed like a month ago. And now all of a sudden he's going to be entrenched in your bullpen for what hopefully is an awesome season.
Yeah, Mike, I think also like around here, whenever those guys start to buzz the way they are, you can see it in the stadiums. Like people, they stop, turn around and watch. Oh, get this guy's at the plate right now, or this guy's pitching, and it gets exciting around here.
And we're here so early. Innings 5 through 9 are a lot of AA and AAA baseball.
Yeah.
So the first 3 to 5 innings approximately is Major League Baseball for the most part. And then the last half of the game, you get to watch kind of the prospects play. And I know that the Rangers are off to a rough start record-wise. And, you know, I've talked to Chris Young about this. He's like, look, obviously, we don't care if we win or lose in spring training, but what it shows record-wise at times is the depth of your organization. So that could be a whole nother discussion, but yeah.
I ask you a question about that real quick?
Yeah.
I have no doubt you're 100% right about that. Is there ever a scenario, or have you seen spring training games where, like, it's not that you're trying to win the game, but all of a sudden there is a theoretically high pressure situation, and you're like, okay, well, this is hard to replicate. We're getting it in a game. Like, let's see how it goes.
I think you get first and third, one out, down by a run. Sebastian Wall caught up to the plate in the ninth inning against a really good AA or AAA pitcher that they think this year or next year is going to contribute to their organization at a major league level. You like seeing that. Now,
yes.
You're not going to say if Walcott gets a hit, we're moving him up the board and maybe he'll take Ezekiel Duran's spot. Like, that's, you're not going to go that far.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're going to just, it's a mental note to say, hey, he handled that situation well. Or you get Sebastian Walcott, first pitch swings at a breaking ball in the dirt. And then he swings at another breaking ball on a 1-1 count just off the plate out of the zone. And then the pitcher throws 97 letter high and he swings and chases. And you make that note. All right, hey, he's just 18 years old. He swung at three balls, three swings and misses in that situation. Not that we're going to harp on that situation, but we understand right now he might get too excited in this moment and expand his zone. So you do want to see things like that. We talked to Rocker, which you'll hear later, on just kind of his presence on the mound and his calmness on the mound. So you're watching for things like that and seeing their body language. The results matter, but you're kind of also watching the body languages and how they're handling the situations. If it looks like it's too much for them, or it looks like, hey, maybe the result wasn't there, but I really like the approach. I like the attitude I saw there. I like the body language.
This is a different note in out of something you just said, and I know, Kevin, we had some stuff to get to, but it's baseball, baby. I'm excited. When you say expand the zone, how often is expanding the zone guessing, and how often is it intentional? Like, sometimes guys expand it because of the count. Sometimes they expand it because they're like, I'm gonna do that now, but two at-bats later, I'm gonna make these guys think.
You're not gonna give yourself an intentional out,
okay,
if that's where you're going.
So that's usually excitement.
But the counts obviously matter. I mean, I think where you're getting at is like a 2-0 count. I'm looking for a specific location. I might be looking for not only a specific location but a specific pitch. Now, if you're Corey Seager, it doesn't matter if he throws it 83 mile an hour slider or 95 mile an hour fastball. If it's in the location he's looking 2-0, he's taking a rip at it. But maybe a different person, I'm just bringing up Josh Smith for an example, maybe he's looking for fastball down and in on this 2-0 count. And if it's a breaking ball down and in, he'll just let it go, even though it's a strike. Cause he's like, no, I was looking for 96. Once I saw spin, I gave up on the pitch because I was only looking fastball. But you get to 0-2 or you have a 1-2 count, you have to expand the zone. Now, I don't like this thinking. There has been a mentality for the last 10 years, and I do think it's going away. And it was all based on analytics and people who had never touched a baseball or a baseball bat in their life. They're like, who cares if it's strike three? If it's not your pitch, just let it go.
Oh, interesting.
That foul it off
and get another pitch that could be yours.
Right. You're like, no, we have to have a two-strike approach. Like, we're just going to, if he makes his pitch, we're just going to walk back to the dugout. Well, if he makes his pitch,
home runs on strike.
Right.
Okay,
they're just like, we would rather you get off your best swing all the time. And if you can't on down and away get off your best swing, just let it go and hope the umpire calls it a ball. And I thought that was a horrible approach. And I do think that is being pushed out. I think over the last 2 to 3 years, approximately, baseball is getting back to the middle. It used to be analytics are stupid. Let's take about 2005 to 2010. And then right around 2011, 2012, it starts shifting. And then it goes too extreme where they're like, anybody who has a baseball brain is a moron. We only look at charts. And now that was about a 5 to 7 year period in baseball. And now we're back to where I think it's a middle. Hey, these analytic things are good and we need these things. But having approach from a dude from Stanford, let's say, not Malcolm
Stanford,
Moore, the player, but somebody from Stanford who got a great degree in mathematics, is saying you should never swing at a pitch that you don't think you can hit hard. Well, Too bad. I'm 0-2. I have to expand my zone, and I have to try.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Try to foul that pitch off. I have to put it in play. If I put it in play, maybe it finds a hole. Maybe a guy makes a mistake. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. But if I don't swing at a strike, and I know it's a strike, and I have two strikes, I've just quit. Like, to me, that's quitting. And they're actually telling players at one point in this game a few years ago, just quit your at-bat. And that's insane to me. So I know I took it in a different direction, but the expansion and retraction of zone from a hitter standpoint is based off of the count. But you don't want to swing at balls that you can't hit just to maybe get a different pitch. You might – Edgar Martinez would do this a lot. I know Carl Everett would do this every once in a while, and there's plenty of guys. I'm just naming examples of people I face. Deal with it, Lasher Z.
Man, you really do remember this. Yeah.
He would take a pitch, or they would take a pitch, and they would, like, buckle their knees. Well, I'm reading body language on the mound, and so is my catcher, so – hey, if he looked that bad, or they would swing over the top of it and their finish would look like horse manure. And so you're like, well, throw that pitch again. You know, I watch high school kids and I'm like, you guys can't be this stupid, can you? But they're just high school kids. They, like, you got to read the swing. This is read the swing. If they look like they were on the pitch and had a great swing, maybe that's not the pitch to repeat. But if they look like horse manure, they're probably going to look like horse manure on the pitch again. And so they would do that, and then you throw the same pitch, and then they would stay back, time it up, and put the ball in play hard. And so, but that's unusual. There's not a lot of guys that can intentionally look bad on a pitch, but they wouldn't do it with two strikes. Does that make sense?
Yep,
they absolutely. They would do it where, like, all right, if he throws that pitch again in this at bat, I'm going to get him on that one. Wade Boggs would. I think we talked to Wade Boggs
yes,
about
we
that
did.
One time.
Yes,
that and killing lions.
Yes, we did.
I'm sorry, what?
And elephants.
Do you not remember us kind of recapping that story? It was one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard about how he killed a hippo that had killed a whole bunch of people in this village. And then when they finally killed the hippo, like Wade Boggs and some other people, like displayed the hippo, and all the people across the river that were part of this group were like cheering because that hippo had killed a bunch of their kids. It was a wild story.
Now I do remember that. Thanks,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah. Look, if you didn't remember it after that, I would be like, well, you've never heard this story before, because I will not forget that. Now, Mike, I am curious, because Corey talked about how we've been coming here for like 10 years, give or take. But like, this has been most of your life, going to spring training for one reason or another. And I know not always here. Right. But what kind of vibes, what kind of feelings do you get just knowing like it's time to go back to spring training?
Well, there's something in my DNA that when I get on the road and I'm driving and it's a decent drive, like we drove to Austin this weekend to see my daughter, it feels like I'm going to spring training on those drives.
Okay.
Because that's like the start of like, all right, we're going to take a road trip slash get to Florida or Arizona. So there's something in my DNA right around February-ish that feels like, okay, your job's, you know, back at stake. This is now your time to challenge yourself and see if you can beat out some guys that people think are better than you. Keep your job from the young guys that are trying to take your job. And, you know, they're your teammates, so that's always the interesting part here is you're happy to see your team and the guys that you know. You're getting to meet the guys that are new guys on the team. And if you're a new guy, you're trying to get to know as many guys on the team to become friends with your new teammates. Yet there are certain guys that you're friends with that you're trying to,
yeah,
this is going to sound extreme, destroy their life.
Sure.
Because you're trying to take their livelihood from them so you can have the life you want.
That should be our interview questions. Who in this clubhouse right now
do you want to destroy?
Is your nemesis? Who's
and
your
they're
nemesis?
Like, no, I love everybody. And no, I get that. But like, which faux friend do you really wish like struggles in spring training?
He's ahead of you.
Like
Leody
and Evan
right
Carter are battling for center field, but they are good friends.
Yeah.
But and one of them is going to be a fourth outfielder.
Is it? Do you have that? And I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, Mike. And if not, we can just move on. Do you have that feeling again this year? I know you're not, you don't need to take out anybody for your broadcasting job. But you know what I mean in terms of like proving yourself all over again? Because if people have missed it, if you haven't been catching up with the show, that's why you got to turn it on and leave it on. Mike, this is your last week on our show, like for good.
Yeah.
And you're going to take over as the one of the primary broadcasters for the Texas Rangers. So do you kind of have that like prove it vibe all over again?
Yes. And I don't know this. Like, David Murphy is going to do approximately 50 games. I'll do approximately 100 games. And then Elvis Andrus is joining for some pre and post games at
home. You can hear right here on the Fan.
Yeah. And those guys had great careers, right? Elvis played, I'm going to guess, 14 years in the major leagues approximately. And David Murphy had a great career. And they could come to spring training and they, at times, for a lot of their major league spring trainings, didn't have to fight for their job. They just had to get ready for their job.
Right.
For me, I was always, I was always a loser. In the end, I would always get called into the office and say, you know, they wouldn't say it this harsh, but you've lost your job. You weren't good enough to keep this job. You weren't good enough to steal this job from somebody else. So I have a mental part of me that's always like, I'm going to lose what I have. That's ingrained in me through baseball. It's not good. I'm not telling you it's good. I'm going to lose what I have because I was always a loser at the highest level. And so now that I'm back at the highest level of Major League Baseball broadcasting, yes, there is a part of me that goes, there's so many people after me for this job. They're probably better than me. How do I hold them off? Like, this is just, you know, internal talk of like, all right, how do I keep this job? How do I make sure that the Rangers, and whether it's other major league teams or a national broadcast, goes, he's good enough to give him another shot, or he's good enough to keep? Because my whole life has been, getting called into the office and saying you're not good enough.
But if you think about it from a TV broadcast perspective, I'm going to try to hype you up just a little bit. You are the hot shot prospect. Think about it. A couple of years ago, they were like, hey, do you want to give this a shot? And you're like, yeah, okay, that could be fun.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you know what? You did such a good job. What if we give you like a third of the games on the schedule? And you're like, oh, okay, I'll give it a shot. And then that went so well, they were like, what if we went ahead and gave you a little bit more than two-thirds of the games? And then so like you're just moving up.
Thank you.
Well, you know, don't give up 12 runs in an inning. You're going to be all right.
And that's the great thing is I can't be as bad as I was as a pitcher.
See, yeah.
I just think
that's
to
the
myself.
Spirit? I don't know.
But they were like, you know, when we knew that you could do this, they had me do a mock two-game broadcast.
Okay.
I was doing pre and post, and this was, I think it was at the new stadium, but it was like 21 maybe. I just thought they were doing it because they said they were setting up different things and seeing if they could broadcast in a different way from like the TV truck mm-hmm. and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll do it. And they're like, that's when we knew you could do this. And I was like, I didn't even know I was trying out. I was just like having fun, like talking about baseball and doing a broadcast that was going out to absolutely nobody. And they're like, yeah, we wanted to see if you could possibly do this. And I had no clue that that's what they were actually possibly seeing if I could do or not.
He was talking about all the different colors of rain. Everybody was
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you definitely better work that into a broadcast on TV at some point this season.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.